should encourage us.
By First Baptist Church. And I got the opportunity to spend a little bit of time talking city business with City Councilman Jim Curd. Thank you for coming in this morning, sir.
Well, glad to be here.
And in one sense, started out as fairly routine for the City Council last night as far as I was a proclamation for Flood Insurance Week.
Correct. We had that on board in our typical passing and mentioning of committees that are available and looking for additional people to fill those committees.
Although flood insurance, I don't remember the numbers, but I was somewhat surprised by the low percentage of people, at least here in Bartlesville, that have flood insurance. I was expecting more.
That's why it's good to have the notice out there so people can be acquainted with it and at least understand it's available.
And the nice thing about it is it's a federal program. You can get it through any licensed property and casualty agent.
Yes.
And the rate's the same no matter who you buy it from.
That's
so don't even have to go rate shopping.
That's a very good point.
I know there was a couple of announcements, and since you've got one on the top of your stack, and
since
the individual honored Friday night is also the coordinator for local Crime Stoppers program, let's honor Nathan.
Sergeant Nathan Mellon had a wonderful award bestowed upon him. He's the FOP Officer of the Year. Just an upstanding person in our community and on our police force, just an ideal kind of person we'd like to have on there. So we had a dinner and a reception for him, and a great honor. And I came to know him a little bit better during my campaign, and I've had the honor of meeting him several times since then. So we're glad to have him aboard. It was a great honor the city had the other night to honor him in that respect.
And that's an award chosen by his peers.
By his peers, yes. And he had his whole family there, his wife Regina and his three daughters. So it was a great evening for him and his family and friends, and he was well deserving of the honor.
Absolutely. Yeah, great guy, and I appreciate all of our men and women in blue.
Yes, we've got, I was talking to him a bit about the staffing, and they're continually working, as our fire department is to staff up to the levels they want. They've got people hopefully training and bringing more people on. So they, there's a lot to cover out there, and these guys put in full days every day taking care of this community.
Well, besides the state requirements, I think Bartlesville expects a fully trained, fully qualified force, firefighters and police. And it does take a matter of weeks and months and sometimes more than a year to get 100% qualified.
Yes, it's a challenging process. You just can't walk on, and so it makes it more difficult sometimes to find the right people that will stay with the program, and so we're working with them any way we can to make sure we can continue to attract people like Sergeant Mellon to our force.
Okay, well, congratulations to Nathan, and
yes.
if and when you see him around the community, congratulate him.
Yes, you bet. Yeah.
I know another item of business that we need to take care of. I think there was some other announcement.
Yeah, we had.
This week. Okay, you put your leaves out this week. Yeah.
We've got the trash pickup, leaf and grass collection this week. So if your regular week, you just put your stuff out and the city will pick it up this week. So if you've had time at the tough weekend that we had this past weekend to get your soggy leaves and branches out there, get them by the curb, and on your regular day, the city will collection will come by and pick those up for you.
Yeah, no special stickers. You don't have to use any particular type of bag. Just put it out there with the rest of your stuff.
Great program.
On limbs and twigs and all that stuff, I believe.
Bundle them up. And
I believe not longer than 4 feet long and not more than 50 pounds.
Correct. Thanks. You're more informed than I am, probably, but those seem like the right measurements to have for it, yes.
Okay, sounds like a good deal.
And we've also, to mention, Alan Gentris is having a, excuse me, let me find the date here, having a, hosting a open house at out at Oak Park United Methodist Church on Thursday, May 4th at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So he's invited all the public out there to hold a open house and a public ward meeting, and I invite all the public to attend.
And not trying to put words in his mouth, but yes, it is held in his ward, but like you said, he invited the city.
Correct. Yep. Yeah, it's in his ward, and he's certainly open the invitation to anybody that would like to attend. So
okay.
It's a great opportunity to come to and speak with Councilman Gentris. He's been, I've sure enjoyed working with him on the council.
Well, it's, I think the council, as I have observed this particular group of individuals and their predecessors recently, you try to work together to just solve problems, whatever comes before the council, and some of them recently, like last night, where you've had some tough ones.
Certainly. I mean, I think that's what Alan and I have enjoyed doing, is there's been some things that have been, you know, I won't say lingering, but have been tough decisions, and Alan and I are committed to bringing some of those forward, and the council has been more than willing to work with us to try to answer some of the questions. As you mentioned, our landscaping took over last night for quite some time, and we ended up spending an hour and a half just dealing with our landscape recommendations that we had from our landscape task force.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that for a little bit. The task force, I believe, is chaired by Councilman Gentris, and this was bringing forth of different ideas, pluses and minuses. It will take final action by the council, I believe, yeah, before anything is done.
Yeah, it's very, it's not complex. It's just there's a lot of components. We dealt mainly with the second Dewey Street project, which was important. We paid for that back in 2008 on CIP bond issue, and the money's been sitting there. We've gotten a lot of the work done, the lights and some other things done, but we've waited on the landscaping because we really haven't had a determination who would pay for the landscaping long term. So that's the question that we're pushing before the council. We've got we've all agreed on the project needs to go forward. We've got the construction plans in place. We've got funding for the initial phase of the maintenance. We've got a warranty in place for certain things that would go. So we've made a lot of progress in that respect, but we're going to come down to ultimately the question of long-term funding for that project. And then as we go forward with the remainder of the plan downtown, there's going to be other projects to do and other funding necessary for other Long Street maintenance items.
So really, as I understand it, please correct me if I'm wrong, there's the initial installation, for lack of a better term, getting the plants, the whatever other item needs to go in there, and then providing funding for any ongoing maintenance other than just somebody to come along and pull weeds occasionally.
Yeah, this is where it gets a little complex, because we can, on Second and Dewey, we can plant things and then we can have some time to establish them, and we can use TIF funds from our TIF district downtown to do that. But TIF funds typically, by most opinions, can't be used for long-term maintenance. So we can use them on a short term to establish the plantings, make sure they're going to grow, and then we have to very soon after that kick into a long-term funded, different than the TIF fund. So that's where it gets kind of complicated, but we've got the funds available. The BRTA had given dedicated $140,000 of previous funds that came from mixed sources, but we've got those funds available to help with our short-term financing.
Okay, so a few more decisions to be made, but obviously some big steps forward.
Yeah, several more, and I think the most important thing is to remember is that you know, we've tailored a lot of the cost down on the landscaping, and originally it's four segments of downtown to be done in phases. They're color phases, so you'd have to look at the map, and we've added a fifth, a purple phase, but all the phases, we started a pretty good precedent on the Second and Dewey. We eliminated all the planting, flower planting, bush planting, and went with just trees in those on Second and Dewey. So if that plan folds out throughout the rest of Bartlesville, except maybe on Frank Phillips where we might have some plantings, I think we'll have a minimal cost involved in it, and it'll be a prudent way to proceed with our downtown. Most importantly, we've got 376 beds downtown, and we will end up with 120 beds with trees in them. So we will rid ourselves of the remainder of the 250 beds that are just sitting there, some in bad shape and some in fairly good shape, but we'll rid those. We're going to cut the curbs out, pour concrete over them, increase more sidewalk coverage, put more benches and trash cans, make it a better presentation and more consistent presentation for downtown.
And that you kind of do a nice picture of the beds. I think verbally, I think many of us were thinking more about some of the garden areas, like what we might see in front of City Hall, where there's, you know, occasionally they'll change the pansies to something else,
right.
A seasonal type planting.
Right, and those are your big maintenance items, because
yeah,
they have to be tended to almost daily. They have to be watered daily. And if we were to put in any pots downtown, then they have to be irrigated. So the cost goes up significantly on the maintenance side, long-term side, if we put in pots and plantings like that. Trees will also be irrigated, but they'll be far less maintenance. They just need need to be pruned occasionally, and the beds that they sit in need to be weeded and make sure that there's no weeds growing in them. So, you know, it's we've made a lot of progress in reducing the cost, and that's then what the council's going to come to face in terms of the long-term funding is whether they want to proceed with a city-funded operation or if they want to look to a study downtown that we're maybe that we would put a business improvement district in place, a bid in place where that would fund it by the downtown property owners.
It would be one creative way to get it done.
It is. Yeah.
We'll take a break and we will continue our time with Councilman Curd in just a moment on 1400 K1.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Continuing our time on A Community Connection this morning with Councilman Jim Curd. Jim, one of the things the council took action last night was to accept a donation from Armstrong Bank.
Yes.
Background, you can expand if you choose to. Armstrong Bank has been using a temporary structure as part of their headquarters for their bank in Dewey, as the permanent structure has been being built.
Yeah.
That they're about ready to move into that permanent building, so they are making a gift of that temporary structure to the city.
Yes, made a very gracious donation to the city last night, and a great opportunity for the city to acquire a fairly nice structure to use somewhere within the city. And fortunately for me, I've been very involved in the Price Field complex out there for very many years, and along with Lisa and the entire staff of City of Bartlesville has worked diligently to try to bring that project forward. And we've got an upcoming bond issue, and quite frankly, we've got some ideas to put a concession stand in there, and the city has chosen to accept this building with the potential use to have it as a concession stand out at Price Fields. And I just didn't feel like it was the appropriate building for that purpose. It was certainly an appropriate building, and by voting against the accepting it as a donation, as I did, it wasn't anything other than once we have the building, we are going to have to pick a use for it, and that is the probable use. So I'd rather not have the building, because I'd rather not have it in that case. Most are buildings that we would build in this case, as I mentioned to the city staff last night, are block buildings, block construction, slab construction, very durable for the long term, for just heavy use and a use of volunteer groups, vandalism, whatever might come along. We try to build buildings that will last for a long time. This is still a good building structurally, but it just doesn't seem to fit the purpose of what we typically build in that case for a concession stand. So that was my opposition to it, but certainly wasn't in any way to be not thankful to Armstrong Bank to make a great civic donation to the city of Bartlesville.
And I think in clarifying, it's important that we do mention that the only action council actually took was acquiring the building, although, again, like you said, the proposal from city staff was to put it at Price Field.
Right. I mean, there's still some opportunity to maybe look and see if there's alternate uses for it, but it was the wishes of the city council, or at least of the city, to maybe apply a use to it in last night's meeting, but it wasn't there in our agenda, so we just went ahead and accepted it as a donation, and then we'll work through the process of whether administratively they're just going to use it, or if we're going to be able to maybe bring it back before the council and see if there's other uses for it.
You touched on the future of Price Field, and I think if people haven't been there within the past, let's say, year, they need to visit the facility to see what's going on.
They need to absolutely go up there. With our expanded city park staff and melding it a little with our building maintenance group, our staff's done a wonderful job out there. I mean, the fields have never looked immaculate. The second quad is in place. The improvements to the parking lot are in place. I mean, it's almost transformed it, even though we have some old fields left in it and future phases to do. We've got a new sign up, and hopefully we'll get a permanent sign up, but we've got a kind of a vinyl sign up, and the field out in front is mowed well, looks trimmed. The whole place just looks really significantly better than it did even last year with one new quad in it. We had big piles of dirt, and we've eliminated with this new quad five or six old dilapidated fields and structures throughout the place. We put in a paved parking lot. We've made lots of improvements. We do have lots of ways to go. We've got buildings to still build. We've got scoreboards to put in. We've got other things we need to do, but the bones are becoming in place to where we can add to them in the future bond issue. Hopefully in 2017 we can finish out some of those fields with scoreboards and some other things we need on those fields. That's going to be hopefully my intention.
Well, certainly the vision that you're building, and I don't know that anybody besides me has thought of it. I have to believe they have. When it's finished, it would certainly be a great place to hold a tournament.
It'll be a nice tournament facility, and as we're experiencing, you know, we've had tournaments up there in the past, and they've worked well. So it's really incumbent upon the user groups to drive those tournaments. We now have the YMCA helping operate those, and they're interested in certainly putting on tournaments. So the facility will be far more attractive to people outside the community coming to our town playing in it. We've had tournaments in the old facility, but this will be a far better representation of our community. Have people come to town and play on these fields.
Yeah, the oil flyer, steam locomotive will be in town on Saturday.
Right.
Dan Droz told me last night there are still some tickets available for each of the three rides this Saturday.
Good.
The railroad expansion in Bartlesville continues.
Yeah, we took a couple of cars last night, a cattle car and
The two phases. First of all, we took what was already existing on the tracks, and the city took that.
Correct. We've had them, so we've now got a lease on those, and then we took a cattle car that is being refurbished by them that will add to the train as soon as that's done. Hopefully, I think the time span was within about a year.
Yeah.
So it's going to increase the size of the train down there. It's a wonderful thing down by the chamber, so it'll make it even nicer with that cattle car on there.
And I think train enthusiasts like to see that sort of thing.
Yes. I mean, that's a train you can just walk right up and touch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty cool.
It is. And bigger than it looks when you get up close. And it's a big engine.
It is big. Big and heavy. So yeah. it's a great representation of where Oklahoma's been in the past.
Some tough discussions last night with the property owner.
Yes.
I 9/11 and 9/11 and a half, I believe, are the addresses from memory, Southeast Dewey. And
right.
This is something, I know it's a tough time any time the council has to deal with compliance issues.
Yes. I mean, nobody, it's a person's home. They've made an investment in it in the past, and it's become, dilapidated in violation of our codes, and we have those codes in place to protect people that live in the structures and protect property owners from the property values around that structure. So it is very difficult to have to exert those codes and keep people in compliance. So we've worked, I think, well with this particular person. It's been in the process for over 6 years, and we've again granted him some time to do some work on it. It's hard to come up with the money. He's, in a tough position.
He made it public. I'm not divulging anything that wasn't already public. But
right.
He's going to sink his retirement fund into it.
Yes, and those are very trying decisions for the city, because we want to make sure that if he puts that money into, he be successful, and it doesn't just buy him half of the project and then he's still in violation, because then we would be sitting there with a large chunk of money invested in it and still with the idea that it may be torn down as a dilapidated structure. So he's got to get his taxes paid so he can make sure that he's got possession of the house, and then hopefully within the next 30, 60, and 90 days he'll make some progress on it. That's our hope.
And the council, I think, was, diligent in their duties to set achievable timelines, and yet saying, okay, we need to check back, like you said, 30, 60, 90.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we've got to put some parameters up there so we can see some progress, but we've done that before in the past. They haven't quite come through, so we've gone another round to try to see if we can, get him into the position to do that. And he knows his back's up against the wall, as is the council's back. So he made that statement that we're both in that tough position, and something's got to give, and hopefully it's going to be progress on the house. That would be our goal, is to see some progress move forward on the house, and then I think we'll have a lot more patience as we go forward to get him completed and have a occupancy certificate for him so he can occupy the house or rent them out, make money off them, whatever he chooses to do at that point.
And I think I'm paraphrasing the comments from several council members from last night. Moving that process forward is best for everybody. It's best for him, best for the city, and certainly best for the surrounding neighborhood.
Yes, I mean, they really, when you look at them from the street, if you looked at all old houses, they're nice old houses, and they're not caving in or falling in, but they can become a nuisance to the community. People can, they just become places where they're vandalized and further deteriorated. So it's important that we bring them up to a certain standard so they can be occupied, and that will keep them in better shape over the long term.
Yeah. You've mentioned the council talking about a future bond issue, and it's just one of those things that I think if we stop and think about it, agencies like the city, like the schools, always need to be planning for future needs.
Yes, we've got hopefully going to bring forward a bond issue in late fall this year, 2017, and been a lot of discussion on it. We've talked about the Tower Green project. We've talked about several other quality of life projects that we hope to have in front of the council and have them make some decisions on moving some of those projects forward. So it's a great time to be on the council. There's a lot of positive things going on in the community, and that bond issue is going to be a good bond issue for the city to see what we can do in the way of bringing some quality of life issues to Bartlesville. We've made some real improvements in our parks with our park staff. We've cleaned them up a lot. We've got some things we still need to do in them. That takes money, and hopefully some of that will be in the bond issue. Our Pathfinder is in desperate need of funds we'd love to expand it, but I'd like to fix what we have first. So there's kind of a tussle there about the expansion of it, which would be great, continue to extend it into other parts of the community, but we've got parts of it that are widely used that are in very bad shape. So we need to get some asphalt on them, we need to get them paved, we need to get some signage on them. So those are things I think the council's going to get to weigh in the coming months where we can put some of that money.
Well, certainly quality of life issues, one of the key projects in your campaign, and yes, it's nice to see you following through.
Yeah, I feel like I won primarily, pushing forward that idea. I didn't have any kind of a contentious race at all, but those were things that were important to me, and I know they're important to a lot of people in the community, and it worked for my campaign. So I'm going to continue to do the best I can to bring projects like that before the council and hopefully get some of them pushed through and on the books, ready to go.
Okay, thank you very much. Councilman Jim Curd on a Community Connection.
Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained all this,